Good evening to each one of you this evening. My name's not John, but I think we had our wires crossed just a little bit there. Which leads me, maybe I should tell how it really was. I asked Brother John if he would preach here tonight, and then we had some dialogue, and it was decided that I would preach. And at least that's the way I remember it. Is that right, John? So anyway, I don't know how that all came through in Sally's mind, but praise the Lord. That's sometimes God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. So we're going to trust God here tonight. I want to thank each one of you for coming and being here this evening. This special joyous occasion here for Brother Jonas and his family, his wife Pauline and their family, that this could be a blessing for them. We want to look at the Word of God here tonight and see what God's Word says regarding the call and the life of a minister. And so I'd like to title the message I have here tonight, A Good Minister. A Good Minister of Jesus Christ. And so tonight I thought I would start in Philippians. Thank you. In Philippians chapter 1, there's some verses there that we'd like to look at the beginning here. Verse 1 says, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he went on with a prayer of thanksgiving that I would like to share here, just thinking of Paul's heart for the Philippians. Paul and Timothy were writing a letter to the Philippians. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I was just thinking of that in light of Jonas's life. I have appreciated what I have experienced in just interacting with Jonas, and I have sensed the call of God upon his life in ministry. And it was confirmed here this weekend and through the voting. And so I want to thank God for that. Verse 4, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will complete it. He will complete that work, Brother Jonas. Your knees may feel weak and your arms may want to hang down at times, but Jesus Christ will perform it. He will complete it. He will give you the strength you need for each day. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Inasmuch as both in my bonds and in defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I longed after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, and that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Jesus Christ. That without offense there is morally pure. Verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Verse 12 says, But I would that ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. You know, the way things turned out, you know, as you begin life and as you begin this new chapter in your life of ministry, being called and ordained, sometimes things don't always turn out as you thought they would. But just to trust God in those times that it's going to be for His kingdom, for the furtherance of His kingdom, that it's going to be for my good. It's going to be for the glory of God, for the furtherance of the gospel. And just to trust God in that way at times, sometimes it is hard. Sometimes it is difficult. So I was just thinking, all of you have been sitting for a while. Maybe you could all rise. I don't remember if Sally asked you to rise or not, but just rise and we'll pray and we'll continue here. Lord, as we bow here in your presence tonight, we want to thank you for Jesus. We want to thank you, Lord, for the furtherance of the gospel and for this evening here together tonight. I just pray for Brother Jonas, and Sister Pauline, Lord, that you would bless them as a family tonight as they begin this new chapter, that you would grant them strength and grace and wisdom in the coming days to do the work that you've called them to do. We pray for each one here tonight that you you would be glorified in each one of our lives, that each one of our hearts could be just strengthened and furthered in the gospel tonight as we sit here together. Yes, this is an ordination, but we believe your gospel, your word is not bound. We believe that it can minister to each one in this room as it needs to, as you see fit, Lord. And so we're asking you to do that, Lord, and just to touch us with your love and your anointing and direction, Lord, for the remainder of this service. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In Luke 12, verse 37, you don't need to turn to that, but I was just looking at Jesus and his life and his ministry. As he began his ministry, he told us there in verse 37 that he wants to serve us. He is a servant. We know he was a sacrifice as well, but he wants to serve us. In the New Living Translation, it says, the servants who are ready and waiting for his return will be rewarded. I tell you the truth, he himself will seat them and put on an apron and serve them as they sit and eat. So he has a heart to serve, and that's the heart of ministers, is to serve. He wants to, you know, the context of that passage is care of life. You know, the cares of this life, anxiety. But he wants us to know that he will reward us and he will serve us. He'll put on a white apron and serve us. It just says there in the Amplified that the Master, when he finds awake and watching, that's the words, you know, the New Living says ready and waiting, but the Amplified says ready and watching. Awake and watching. So that's the key, is for the minister to continue to stir his own heart first, and then the people of God to be awake and to be watching for his return, watching for things coming that are that would deter us and get us off course. So We just want to rest assured that Jesus Christ is a servant here tonight, and he came to serve us. And yes, he's the King of Kings tonight. He's the Lord of Lords, and he's seated at the right hand of God. But when he was here on earth and his earthly ministry, we heard about that today. He was here, and he only had his earthly ministry lasted for 3 years. And the rest of the time was, the other 30 years were preparation. So we recognize that there's great preparation needed for ministry. And I'm not referring to universities. I'm referring to being in the school of God, allowing God to work in your life. In 1 Timothy 4 is where I got my title from. First Timothy 4, verse 1 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God has created, to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer." Verse 6 is where I got my title. It says, "But," actually the first word is, "if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained." So we want to be, the Word of God teaches us to be a good minister. We warn the flock of God. The context here is in the latter times. It says there's going to be seducing spirits. There's going to be doctrines of devils. There's going to be lies and hypocrisy. There's going to be the danger of apostasy, deception, false teaching. And it says, this is hard to say, but it says in the last time some shall depart from the faith. There's going to be a falling away from the faith. There's a warning there. So Paul was saying here that if you want to be a good minister, warn the flock of God of these things that we just talked about, to bring warning to the people of God, because it's not a light matter to drift into apostasy. It's not a light matter to drift out of God's plan and will, out of His mercy. And yes, we believe that His mercies are new every morning, but we also know that the Scripture plainly teaches that the sun will set on His mercy at some point in our lives, whether it's our passing or whether He returns. So may we remember that, and in warning every man is not always... It doesn't always feel good. It's not always received well. But it's God's will. It's God's heart. Warning every man. And it says if we want to be a good minister of Jesus Christ, that is what we will do. Acts 20. I'd like to look at a few verses there that Paul shared that just touched my heart. One of them is verse 28, where he said, "Which he hath purchased with his own blood." Speaking of the flock of God, speaking of the church, he purchased it with his own blood. And it's humbling tonight to consider that. He purchased the body of Christ, the church, with his own blood. And yet he uses fallible men. He uses fallible men to administrate and to preach and teach and to oversee the flock of God. So we know this is humbling to us tonight to consider that he shed his blood for us and for the church, and he asked us to oversee it. So what a high calling that is tonight. "Take heed Therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. As I considered that tonight, you know, an overseer, I understand as I looked at it, studied it, that the Greek wording is, there's two words, there's over and then seer. It's not necessarily one word, but it means, you know, over in that sense of having accountability, and then seer is basically looking over and watching and guiding and directing. You know, this is Paul's farewell letter, and I would like for us, for the sake of time, I won't read some of these passages, but let's consider a few things that Paul said. He said in verse 24, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God." He was just sharing that he didn't count his life dear when it came to guarding and guiding the flock of God. But he was also saying that he's at the end of the road. He would see his face no more. Or they wouldn't. In verse 27, he also said, "I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." So I see here Paul is saying that he felt free in his heart because he had shared the whole counsel. He didn't just put in little snippets. He gave all that he knew God wanted for them. He said, "I have coveted no man's silver or gold." And he went on down there sitting and told him that, you know, in verse 35, "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive." And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. This was Paul's last will and testament, you could say. He was saying, "Farewell. I'm going on home with Jesus. But I have done. I have finished the course." So number two here. I have a few points of a good minister. One, number two here is a good minister walks in humility. We heard a little bit about that today. You know, because it's likely he will be working with broken relationships at times. You know, a good minister, you know, walking in humility means to bring low. To just bring yourself low when you speak into people's lives. Perfectly broken, this is God's plan. As the song says, we live in an age of, it seems, you know, at least to me, of recent, that I've noticed that relationships on every area of, from government down to the church, relationships seem to be under attack. We live in an age of anger and fear and just frustration. And it seems like relationship issues are ever present. And I believe it's God's will that a good minister will work through them with humility, considering himself, lest he also be tempted. I believe the heat has been turned up. I believe the enemy knows that he has but a short time. And he's trying to destroy. He's trying to destroy the work of God, but we recognize that he cannot do that if we abide, if we, you know, bring ourselves low and just endure until the end and call upon God for help, call upon the Holy Spirit to deliver us and keep us and strengthen us. And make us more than conquerors through him who loved us. 1 Timothy 3, verse 15 and 16. It says, in case I am delayed, so that you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. And great, we confess, is the mystery, the hidden truth of godliness. There is a hidden truth in godliness tonight that can't always be revealed or explained. He, Jesus Christ, who was revealed in human flesh, was justified and vindicated in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the nations, and believed on in the world. The mystery of humility, how it works. How does a soft answer turn away wrath? Humility deepens our walk with God. When we are low, we are in the best possible place to lovingly serve Him. When we bring ourselves low, we are in the best possible place to lovingly serve Jesus Christ and to enjoy His glory. Psalm 116:6 says, the Lord protects the simple or the childlike. I was brought low, humbled and discouraged, and He saved me. That was in the Amplified. So as I considered that, I know that I have been blessed working with my local elders and deacons here. It's been a great experience. And I haven't always done it right. I haven't always, done everything the way I would have liked to. But I recognize tonight that there is a need to stay together. There is a need to work it out, to work through the difficult things in life. And as I was thinking of this, I was thinking of just staying together. And I thought of, as I was growing up, we'd have 5-gallon buckets in our barns, and all of a sudden you'd have 3 or 4 of them that were all put on a pile, and they would get smashed together, and you'd go over and pull on them, and you couldn't literally get them apart. And I'd like to illustrate that with these waste baskets here tonight. A ministry team. Just staying together. You could put another brother on the back side there and just pull and pull. And these will stay together. I used to order 12 of them at a time from Bear Supply, and when they would come, they were so compacted that we couldn't get them apart. We had to order new ones. Well, they're changing some things, and I told them, well, just send 6 of them, because if you send 12, they get compacted, and I can't get them apart. But I had to think of that as an object or object lesson or an example of us tonight here as a ministry. Just to stay together, just to stick it out when the times get tough. I was just pondering over that in my own life. We know there are times when apostasy comes, or when apostasy is present, or sin that won't be dealt with, or those types of things. There is a time to walk. There is a time to seek other fellowship. But if it's not that, if it's just a relationship issue, then I believe it's God's will that we humble our hearts and work it out. And I was just thinking of that as well. I had to think of, I have 2 illustrations that I'd like to use here. I had to think of, some of this is my own experience that I learned, and I'd like to share here tonight is, there are times when you get phone calls or maybe approached by someone, and just to have the right discernment to divide the trash from the things that you should ponder. Right at first, I took everything and I just ingested it. I didn't know that I should trash some things. When you're closely working with someone who has been working, who has been in deep sin, and all the things that they bring and need to dump and need to take, need to release and dump their bucket, Sometimes we bring it all in here and we don't know what to do with it. But I just have learned that there's a filter. The Holy Spirit is a filter in your life. And it will give you, Jonas, discernment when things come through the phone line or in person where you know, I need to pitch that. I need to pitch that in the trash can and keep this other part that he shared. And I want to ponder that. I want to pray through that. That's what God is showing me in my life. That's very important. And just to, it's not that, you know, and when I want to be clear that when I came to the Jesus Christ, I had plenty of trash. I had plenty to dump into the bucket. And so I just thank God that there were brothers that were available to help me through that. And I didn't realize until later that often when they would set in sessions like that they would take things. Some of it they would pitch, and others they would keep and try to pray through you with you. And so that's tonight, you know, or you could say when someone comes, and sometimes this can be an area of relationship issues, you know, just have a long list of grievances about a brother. As a minister, Jonas, you have to discern when it's time to pitch that part of it and just look at the real truth, the real facts. And it's not always easy, and we don't always do it right. But that's what God wants from us. A good minister, number three, will teach sound doctrine and feed the flock of God. I talked about that a little earlier, about sound doctrine. Which means it has a foundation in Scripture. It has a foundation in the Word of God. 1 John 4 talks about, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. You know, as we work through situations, help us to, you know, I just pray that God will give you strength, Jonas, to recognize, to try the spirits, whether they are of God. And hereby we know, Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus is Christ, that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And that is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and is even here now already. And even now already it is in the world, it says. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is within you, Jonas, than he that is in the world. So that's the consolation this evening, that as we try spirits, as we work through difficult things, we need to remember that greater is he that is within us. Remembering that we don't have all the answers, but we can pray. The Word of God does have all the answers. And so we're thankful for that. 1 Timothy 4:16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So there's a two-part promise here that when we take heed unto the true doctrine of God, we will save ourselves and those that hear us. You know, doctrine that is true and the truth is precious. And it needs to be guarded against. It needs to be guarded over, because there's much that wants to water down the truth. Titus 1:9, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may abound by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. You know, convincing the gainsayers, because there are false teachers who bring, you know, their doctrine, their pet doctrine, and want to, you know, implant it into the local church. That is the calling of an elder, to oversee and to guard that. And to preach the word. Titus 2 here, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Speak thou the things which are proper for sound doctrine. And in 11 to 15, it says, For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So we recognize here that that blessed hope and that glorious appearing, you know, it's that's why we need to be sober tonight. That's why we need to live soberly. 2 Timothy 4, 1 to 5. Speaking of the charge that Jonas will accept here tonight, and it says here, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. So tonight there's a charge here, preach the word. It means to be instant. In season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. That long-suffering there is humility. It's to, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables, which is a myth. You know, if you think about that today, there are many myths out there, just things that are not true. Yet people believe them. It's been proven. My understanding back in World War II, it's been proven that if you say a lie often enough, they believe it. Hitler said many lies, and his propaganda just kept stating a blatant lie, and people believed it. So that's why we need to, turn away or hear the truth and turn away from fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof thy ministry. A good shepherd, you could interchange that with a good shepherd will test or prove every spirit, whether it's the Holy Spirit or whether it's of the world. Number four, a good minister will be a man of prayer. This is a hidden ministry for the most part. It's a very key part of ministry, and that is prayer. Just being a man of prayer. You know, in Acts chapter 6 there, when they were looking for deacons, to ordain deacons, Paul wrote there, he said, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. There was a thrust there that prayer was of paramount. It was of utmost importance. So just praying in secret, that is, that's the key. That's the key to faithfulness in ministry, I believe, is prayer. I think Spurgeon had a decades-long successful ministry in England there, at being a pastor of a church. Many of his sermons are written out and recorded to this day. And people ask him at times that, what he attributes his success to. And of course, he said God, but yet he always said that my people pray for me. And so I believe that as prayer is the most underestimated part of ministry that it often gets left behind. It's a secret. I would call it a mystery or a secret to just being victorious in our, even in our own Christian lives. over in Matthew chapter 6. Verse 6, it says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." So there's a promise there of just going in your closet and praying to the Lord. It says there will be open, He reward you openly. It's a mystery. You know, what is a mystery? It's a divine truth that it takes searching and knocking and praying to unveil it, to uncover it, praying in secret. Thessalonians 5 says, "Pray without ceasing." Romans 8:26 talks about making intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. In Ephesians 6:18, it says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." So Paul recognized that there was a great need there for prayer and supplication. Supplication is begging earnestly in humility. Just praying always, just in supplications. You know, when you hear, there's times when some of us hear children that beg. You know, they'll beg their parents for something. And sometimes it's earnestly. And so I think that's what God is saying here, that, you know, making intercession or interceding on behalf of others, it's a begging or an entreating to God. James 5 says, "Confess your faults one to another that you may be healed." It's in the context of anointing there, but it's still, it just talks about prayer there, just praying. "Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." It's a secret ministry that that God wants us to continue to bring in our mind, our forefront, in our churches, of the importance of that. The importance of coming to a Saturday morning prayer meeting. What a blessing. Yes, it's hard to get up at times, but we are always blessed if we can go, if it works for us. But just having a heart to go and pray, make your needs known and pray for others, intercede for the lost, intercede for the needs that we have around us. First John 5, verse 14. "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." I think the reason we often don't pray is because maybe we don't think He hears us. Yes, we do. I trust we're here tonight and we do believe that He hears our prayer. But, you know, I had to think of making lists. I just encourage everyone here tonight, just make lists of people and things in your life that you are praying for. Some time ago, I found a list that I had made, and I looked across it, and I was amazed. Everything that I had written down, I had a page. It was probably like 8.5 by 11, and I had a list of prayers that at that time, I think it was a couple years ago. And as I looked through there, I had to smile because I recognized that every one of those prayers were answered. And that's, you know, as you have children, as you have your family devotions, you know, as fathers, grab a tablet like this and say, okay, this morning we're gonna write down who to pray for, and needs maybe in our congregation, our family, our missionary, whatever it is. And let's pray for that. And then as your children, you know, as these prayers are answered, you check them off. And that can build faith in your children. That can build faith in your heart, my heart. And there's some times when I forget to make my list, but I just want to resurrect that again. Just hold that up. That is a very good thing. And it helps keep us motivated. You know, I will that men pray everywhere, it says in 1 Timothy 2, without wrath and doubting. I don't have the whole verse there, but I just wrote a few words down here. So, Jonas, I appreciate your life, and your family, your life, but I just want to encourage you tonight that you're going to be tested. You're going to be tried. You're going to be stretched. But I have faith tonight that God will take you through. That is such good news. You know, tonight it's not that we're going to be without affliction. It's not that we're going to be without trouble. But if we can be engaged and the body of Christ behind us, engaged in this battle together, we can move forward. We can gain many victories. Number five is a good minister or a good shepherd. He is careful with his words. And I think this is a big one that I have learned from experience and maybe had some areas of hard knocks in this area, because words are powerful. They're very powerful. And God wants us to be careful, especially as ministers, with our words. Ecclesiastes 5:2 says, "Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou art upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few." Let thy words be few. And that can be especially difficult if we, as you know, we often get asked a lot of questions. And so just to remember that and to take time to pray before we speak. And there's other times when we need to speak. And so it's just walking that fine line and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us through that is such a beautiful thing. A good minister is careful with his words. A shepherd, he's careful with his words. Proverbs 18:4. The words of a man's mouth are like deep waters. The fountain of the mature or the godly, wisdom is like a bubbling stream, sparkling fresh, pure, and life-giving. You know, if you go out to Glacier National Park and you see some of these crystal clear streams coming down the mountain from the glaciers above, these are just so sparkling and fresh. That's what it says here tonight, that the words of a godly man are like. They bring life, even if it's a rebuke, even if it is a chastisement. You know, if we're a son of God, it says He chastens every son whom He receives. So we shouldn't think that we won't receive chastening. And I know that as a minister as well, you know, sometimes God will chasten us. He'll say, engage here or engage there. And just to listen to His voice. Proverbs 10:19 says, "In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise." So be careful with multitudes of words. Colossians 4:6, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may be able to know how to answer every man." And I believe that is a prayerful meditation. And yet sometimes the Lord gives you an answer right away. He gives you an instant, instant answer. And there's other times when He says, you need to pray about this. So may the Lord guide you through that. 1 Thessalonians 4:11, and study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your hands as we commanded you. That study to be quiet, I'm not sure what that means. I think, it just goes in context with what I've been reading here. Be careful what you say. Because our words matter. Our words are, Jesus said, we will give an account for every word that we utter. Sobering. And yet, we recognize that there are times when God is saying, speak. Speak the word. Preach the word. Share the gospel. Share the word of God. Share that, there's times when He wants a strong word shared. And so we can't be at the place where we're afraid to speak either. We need to be able to just be under the influence and the divine power of the Holy Spirit as we speak. So I just want to thank God that He hasn't left us without any help, but we can do that. And I, as a good minister, as you go through your life, just remember your white robe. Remember that white robe that Jesus Christ wants to give us. And if you're a child of God here tonight, you have a white robe. That robe of white. In Revelations, there's just a few verses there as I was thinking about, I was thinking about a good minister, and that can help us to maintain our goal, to maintain, the trials and the valleys and things that we face in life. Just to remember that this is not it. We're going on, and we're going home. The enemy tries to make us believe that we are here, and it's going to be a really long time, and just that type of thinking. But the reality is, we'll soon be there. We'll all soon be there. Revelation 6, verse 9, and when He opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God. And for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants, also their brethren, should be killed as they were, should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. That basically saying that they were told to rest a little longer until the full number of their brothers and sisters were to be martyred. And they would join them. And so that was just a good encouragement from my heart as I considered that going on with the Lord. And just considering the end, considering this isn't it. And also, just a few verses here in closing in John chapter 10. Just a good shepherd, he'll lay down his life for the sheep. He'll lay down his life. Verse 15 says, as the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. It's a real blessing to just to consider some of these words here that Jesus taught us here. He says in verse 8, He says, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. And I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I am come that ye might have life, and that ye might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf and cometh, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. And he goes on just to say that he gives his life for the sheep. And verse 16, in closing here, it says, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, that they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So tonight, as we consider just being a shepherd, it is a high calling. And but we praise God tonight that He makes it possible through the Holy Spirit. And so I know that as I was thinking of your children, I thought of Joshua there. Just want to encourage you, Joshua, just continue to support your dad and mom. That is such a blessing when young people support their parents in ministry. And the rest of your family there, Karen and Juanita and Krista and Japheth. I know he's a little baby there tonight, but may the Lord continue to draw you together as He has thus far, and just give each one of you strength to just walk together. I believe God has great things for you as a family. So if you want to Jonas and Pauline want to come over here and stand here in the center here. I think if Sally and John want to come up. Brother Jonas, according to the agreement and support of the church at Allen County Christian Fellowship, are you willing by God's grace to receive the call of God upon your life and to accept the ordination of an elder in the church of our Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Sister Pauline, are you willing to stand with your husband and support him in this work and labor of love?
Yes, by the grace of God.
Do you have anything else you'd like to share, Jonas? Brother Jonas, in Jesus' name, we charge you with the responsibility of eldership, asking you to be an example to the flock. Be a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate in conduct, blameless in stewardship, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, holding fast the faithful word as you have been taught. Brother Jonas, give yourself wholly to doing the work of an elder, laboring in the word of God and in prayers, teaching, exhorting, and warning every man, as well as encouraging and blessing and guiding souls in their conduct and walk of life. Brother Jonas, we charge you with the following responsibilities. First, being responsible for your own life, keeping yourself in the love and grace of God, always willing to confess your own needs and sins that you may be blameless before the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge all men at the last day. Secondly, that you be a godly father and husband to your own family at home, not neglecting their needs, nurturing them in the Lord. Thirdly, we charge you with oversight of the church, giving you responsibility and authority to administer baptisms, communion services, anointings, laying on of hands, discipling individuals as you see the need arise. In brief, to perform all the duties expected of an elder here at Allen County Christian Fellowship. Fourthly, that you labor together with your fellow elders, and brethren, being subject to one another in the unity of our Lord Jesus Christ, keeping his word and giving all to build his kingdom. If you want to kneel, pray. Maybe Bree, you want to come up, Pauline?
I'll give you that. That's
right. Lord, we thank you for this time together this evening. We thank you for this special service, for the calling and charge given to Brother Jonas and his family. We just pray, Lord, as the time goes forward, that you would continue to equip him, that you would continue to guide him, strengthen him, keep him, Lord, from the enemy of his soul, that you would help him to be, to walk together with the ministry and the church here in a harmonious way, Lord, that Jesus Christ could be glorified and exalted. We pray for his family tonight, that you would bless each one of them. I pray that you would continue to give him the father heart that he has expressed already for his wife and children, just to nurture them and to guide them through life. I just pray for Joshua. I pray for him as a young man, the Lord, that you would continue to equip him and give him strength, Lord, with his eyesight, and continue to heal that and give him a heart to serve in the church here with his dad. Also, think of Karen and Juanita and Krista and Japheth. Lord, bless each one of them tonight. You only know the plans that you have for them, Lord. We know that you have plans to prosper them, so we're just praying that they could be encouraged tonight as they step forward in this new role, new calling, Lord. And that you would equip them to do the work that you've called them to do. We thank you for Jonas and his life, and just ask that you would continue in Jesus' name.
Yes, Father, I do thank you for this brother and sister before us. And I thank you, Lord, that when he was still, before he was born, Lord, you knew his name. Mm-hmm. Lord, when on the day he was born and he was just a newborn baby, Lord, you knew, you could see this day when he's kneeling here. Lord, and as he grew as a child, as he grew up, Lord, you were with him all along the way, Lord. And we thank you today that you are not just the God of the past and the present, but you're the God of the future from here. Lord, you can see. You're already there. Help him, Lord, I pray, to reach out and take your hand and allow you to lead him.
Yes.
I pray you'd give him messages to preach to this congregation. I pray you'd give him an anointing and fill him with your Holy Spirit, and that he could... When he studies your word, Lord, that he could see beyond the written page, Lord, and he could get a hold of the very heart of the word that he's reading, and that he could give him the gift, a gift, Lord, to expound upon that word.
Yes.
And give a stimulating and encouraging word to your people, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you would help him to stay humble, Lord. Mm-hmm. Help him to stay small in his own sight, Lord, mm-hmm. and not be puffed up and not be discouraged,
yes.
Lord, but that he could look to you and find the joy and the peace in the Lord Jesus Christ that you have in the path that you have ordained him to walk. Lord, I do pray that you would help him, Father, to be discerning, Lord, and that he could have a discerning spirit, and that he could be a watchman. Lord, I thank you for his life. Thank you for Brother Jonas here, Lord, and his,
yes.
as we watched him over the years, Lord. And I thank you for his love of the truth. Mm-hmm. And I just pray, God, that you would help him to stand and be a pillar of that truth, Lord, and be a defender of that truth and hold fast to it, Lord. And I do pray for Pauline and the children, Lord, that you give them courage and you give them insight and you'd help them to be a blessing and a support to him, Lord. And help him, God, when the path grows dark and he's on unfamiliar paths, Lord, and he's called upon to do something he's never done, or entering situations that he doesn't know what to do, Lord. I pray you'd help him to remember to look up. And Lord, we don't know how many years he has before him, but we know that if he follows you, the path may not be easy, but I pray that he could find your grace sufficient all the days of his life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, Father, as we are about here in your presence this evening, we do come before you to thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this assembly tonight. And we thank you. Thank you for this brother and sister here before us, Father, tonight as we lay hands on our brother Jonas here tonight. Father, we acknowledge the gifting that you've given him.
Yes.
And we do thank you tonight for it, Father, that in your divine wisdom, you gave gifts to the body of Christ and for edification and for the building of that body. So we do thank you for that tonight. And Father, I do pray tonight, Father, that for your anointing upon this brother, for the additional gifting that you see he may need for the fulfilling of this calling. We do pray for that tonight, Father, that you would give him the additional giftings that he needs, Lord, and that you see that he may need. And so we do pray that you would fulfill all those things in his life. We pray that you would give him you would fill his heart with courage and grace, Father, to as he moves forward, Lord, into a path that he hasn't walked before. We pray that you'd give him much grace and courage, Father, and I pray that you would help him to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of his faith. So I do thank you for this opportunity tonight. We pray that you would set a hedge about his family, Lord, that you would keep them from the fiery darts of the wicked one, Lord, and that you would keep them faithful as a family. We do pray for that tonight. We ask, Lord, that you would, by your grace, that you would make his ministry fruitful, Lord, for your glory. Lord, I pray that that as one day he stands before you, that that he would have the opportunity that in humility to cast his crown before you and to say that you are worthy. Mm-hmm. And so we do thank you for this day, Lord, and we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.